Amen. I enjoyed that, Sister Nancy. Thank you very much. Choir, you did a great job this morning singing. I appreciate your effort in that. Any time you have a talent but like to use it for the Lord in the choir or the music, just let us know and we will get you plugged in where you can be a blessing to us and to the Lord. Don't hide your talents. Use them for God. We're in 2015, and we are glad to have visitors with us today. Thank you so much for choosing Lock Haven Baptist Church to come to worship at this morning. And I trust you'll have a good time here in the house of God. I have already enjoyed myself and looking forward to what else the Lord would bless us with here this morning. Still, I am praying that the Lord would lay upon someone's heart that would be willing to make sure the buses are cared for, cleaned up, oiled, checked, and all that. So, Pastor, I would like to get involved in it, but I cannot drive a bus. But just being a blessing of keeping the buses oiled, checked, and watering the radiators and things of that nature. The kids do their best to keep them clean. Sometimes they let it slip a little bit, dropping all the candy wrappers. And, you know, keeping them looking nice, being a help and a blessing, and making them run longer. Maintenance is very important. So if you would be interested in that, pray about it, and then come see me. We'd be glad to get you on top of that. I've been praying for that for a while. And then another area I've been praying for is that if someone would be willing to lend their services on helping to keep the Roundup sprayed. You know, Brother Jim comes up early and does some. I do some throughout the week. But I think we had someone else that would come 20 minutes early before church, and you wouldn't have to come a special time and just spray some weeds on the sidewalks and things of that nature. Pray about those things. You know, people always asking how they can help and they'd like to serve. Well, there's two areas that you could get involved in. Real quick, well, preacher, I was thinking more along the lines of teaching a class. I know, but the classes are filled up. We've got teachers. But someone that gasses up a bus is no less important than someone to teach in Sunday school. God's in it for you, and you're in it for Him, not for show. So don't look at it as a little job and a big I and a big you and a little you and all that. Just look at it as I'm laboring for the Lord. And I tell you, He keeps a good account of what you do for Him there. And so those are two areas I've been praying for a little while now. And if you'll pray for them in the beginning of this year, that would be a blessing. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. We're going to continue looking at hindrances to spiritual growth. This evening at 5:40. If you are going on the Honduras trip in March, I'd like to meet with you this evening at 5:40 here at the church. 5:40 before church. We have prayer at 6. So it'll be a very short meeting, and the youth have their choir practice at 6. So it'll be very short, so if you could be on time for that, it'd be a blessing. We have very little time to talk about what I've got to talk about, but that's at 5:40 this evening. And then this evening after church, after choir practice, if you stay a little bit and help us to start getting the Christmas items down not put away completely, but just down, and most of them put away, that will be a big help. So if you have just a few moments after choir practice, that will be a blessing. And if you're not in choir and you want to get started before then, that will be a big help too, as well. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Hebrews 5:12, the Bible says there, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belong to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In this day and age which we live in, you can look all around you and notice that there are some very immature Christians. And I'm talking about lost people. Listen, lost people, they're lost. They're enemies of God. They're rebels against the things of God. And they're going to do what they are going to do. But I'm talking about mature and immature Christians, those that eat of the meat of God, those that still desire a bottle of milk and need to be retaught the very first things that they've learned. And nothing for against refresher. Well, I love refresher courses. I tell you, I could listen to sermons on John 3:16 almost every time I ever service, and it wouldn't bother me because you can't exhaust John 3:16. I'm not talking about getting used to or getting beyond John 3:16 and the gospel. Well, we need to always be reminded where we was, who saved us, where we were headed, and now where's our home. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about new things, easy things, and things that are quick, that we're quick to overcome, that outward rebellion. I'm talking about getting to the point where God can deal with those secret areas that only you and I know about. You know about them. God knows about them. I know where mine is. And God wanting to work on those lives, those areas in our lives. We should be able to teach others, but we won't allow ourselves to get past certain things in certain areas in our life. Now, last week we looked at two different areas that would hinder spiritual growth. Can anybody tell me, number one, if you neglect something, what was it? The Word. God's Word. If we neglect the Word of God, we are not going to... This is the necessary instruction for every Christian. Amen. You got to have it. Amen. If you don't have it, you're not going to grow in Christ. You're going to always desire milk. You got to have it. Second thing, that would hinder us would be a result of neglecting the Word of God. We would start following who? False teachers. And we see it left and right, all around us. If someone was to tell you, ask you a question on how to get to heaven, that's a very biblical answer. You don't need to beat around bushes. You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. But you let some prophets, teachers, apostles be asked that question in open public, and they give all kind of answers. Political answers. It's not a political question. It's a biblical question. It was Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, that died on the cross of Calvary. Oh, he's going to set up his government, dear friend. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. But when it talks about becoming a child of God, that's a very biblical, basic question that anybody that is saved ought to be able to tell the other person. It's not because you were baptized here, you're a member of that church, or because you were a good person, or because you helped people in their everyday walk of life. It's because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Amen. But people follow false teachers all the time, don't they? Some of you are thinking right here in your mind, I didn't call any names. But there's been men of God that have been asked that question on a public, open platform and failed to yield a biblical answer. But they have all kind of followers. What happened? Neglect of the Word of God makes you, lends to you a path to follow false teaching. Third, hindrance for spiritual growth, your friend, is by failing to control our tongues, failing to control our tongues. Go to James. We're in Hebrews. Flip over to James. James chapter 3. And verse 2. How about this? Let's just start there in verse 1. Let's read verse 1. And I'm going to read slowly. You follow along with me in your Bible. And we'll read this whole chapter before we talk about the tongue. The misuse of the tongue in your friend can defeat, can cause harm, and hinder growth. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we will receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend, not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which through the though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, now how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Verse 7. For every kind of beast, and the birds, and the serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same time and place, sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Spiritual growth, dear friend, is hindered by failing to control our tongue. James 3 and 16 and 17 says there that for where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. You think about the stories that you've heard among church members and among churches that have had problems. It's always envy and strife, but where does that generate from? From someone not controlling their tongues. Someone not withholding words that should not have been said at that moment. Yeah, preacher, but those words are true. Yeah, there's things that are true, but they don't need to be said in public. There are things that are true that don't need to be spread amongst your little clique and your little crowd. Because when it spreads amongst that little clique, that little crowd, guess what? That little clique, that little crowd, some of them belong to other cliques. They're not exclusively your friends. They take what they've heard and they tell it to the other clique. And generally what they heard is about the clique that they heard that you spoke about. Well, they have no right of telling what I told them. If you don't want it told, dear friend, don't tell it. Look with me over in Titus chapter 2. We're talking about spiritual growth. Titus chapter number 2, verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Sound speech. I'm telling you, when the Bible says we're to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, that we are to season our speech with grace, God knows what He's talking about. He said the tongue is like a fire. It's a world of iniquity. There was some advice given to our family some years ago by my pastor's wife that said this, that if it feels good to the flesh for you to say what you're about to say, you probably should hold your speech. Hold your tongue. Ye which are spiritual, lift up such a one that's fallen. Spiritual growth comes about because you're able to bridle the tongue. It's that you've yielded the whole body to God for righteousness' sake. Go with me over to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I told you, church, we need to seek out and after spiritual growth in our church before numerical growth comes. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 1. The Bible says, let as many servants as be as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but darting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing the gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Boy, the Word of God is sharp, quick, and it divides down to the marrow and the bone. And the Word of God says here, if you're around folks that will not hold their tongue, it's best for you to withdraw yourself from them. It's best to separate yourself from them. You're just as guilty as they are if you sit and listen to gossip. You're just as guilty. If they call you and say, let me tell you what I've heard, you've got to hear what's been done and who said what. And it's gonna hurt me to tell you this. And we just really need to get along and pray for them. And immediately the Holy Spirit of God should tell you, if it ain't about me, and it's bad, I don't need to hear it. But you know what the flesh does? The flesh does. You know why they placed the inquirer at the checkout counter? All that gossip at the inquirer, Hollywood superstar man has baby. And you buy it. First off, you ought to know one thing, and one thing must click in your mind. Men don't have babies. Why waste your money on Hollywood star man has baby? But you got to find out. You got to get it. So what happens is when they tell you, I know this is going to hurt me harder and more than it is for me to tell you, and it's got to be told because it's horrible. Your mind is intrigued and the flesh is hungry. But you know this, dear friend, if they're calling you talking about somebody else, when they get off that phone, guess what they're going to do? I just got off the phone, brother. Steve or sister Stacy, and they said that we should pray for this person. They done pulled you in it. They done got you into it. Dear friend, and you haven't even agreed, all you did agree that we would pray for them. You know what would be the proper answer for you to do? Hold up, I have three-way capability on my phone. Let me call Sister Stacy. Because we really need to pray for her. I don't need to hear you. So spiritual growth is hindered because we neglect the Word of God. Spiritual growth is enabled because of the neglect. We follow false teachers. And because of the neglect of the Word of God, we listen and speak things that ought not to be spoken. In James 3, can sweet water and bitter water come out the same spout? Can salt water and fresh water come out the same spigot? No. So when they call you and tell you, they need to tell you some really bad stuff, but we need to pray. It's impossible. And there's no spiritual growth going to take place. You know what's going to happen? She tells another friend, tells your friend, and before long you're wrapped up in the middle of it, and the person that was talked about, it gets back to them, and you are in the midst of the accused. Somebody gets their feelings hurt, they leave out them doors, they go out them doors, and when they go out them doors, you know what they're talking about? All the hypocrites that are in that church. All the people who've done them wrong. You know what the lost people are talking about? I'm going over that church. They know they're bad. Lost people know they're in the midst of sin. They're in the midst of immorality. And why should they go over there to have their problems broadcast? Therefore, no spiritual growth. Number four. Y'all like that one so well, let's move on. Was some of y'all on the phone talking about people this morning? I mean, don't tell me, please. Don't step up and confess. Preach, I need to come up and get anointed. Some of you are looking like you can talk about somebody and grow spiritual. You can't. There is no spiritual growth going to take place in your life if you're spreading somebody else's news. There's other verses I can go to, like about the one by having the speck in your in their eye and you having a beam. There's other verses. I thought those verses would be good enough. I mean, James chapter 3 just said, boom. smote me right in my heart. Outrunning the tongue and running the mouth. Well, here's a good one. James chapter 2. Let's go back to James, since James did it so well in the beginning. We'll back up a chapter. Chapter 2. Maybe we can handle this chapter a little better. Spiritual growth. And it's important that we have spiritual growth. Spiritual growth means I'm working on my relationship with Christ. And that's what it should be about. Having my relationship right with Christ. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren. Let me say my brethren. That's the saved people. That's people that know Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. That's people that have been lost but now are found. That's people who were such as this but now are sanctified by the blood of Christ. My brethren. As far as I can tell, all my brethren, they were lost. And they have a past. They messed up. I don't know any of them that's perfect. None of my brothers and sisters in Christ, they're not perfect. Come from some rough lumber. And God's been smoothing them and planing them out and trying to make them. He says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto our assembly a man with a gold ring, and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gate clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in the good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? I'm going to tell you, dear friend, if you start having partiality among people and for people and certain groups, you have no spiritual growth in front of you. You have none. Jesus didn't come to die for the healthy and the well and the perfect. He came to die for the sinner that was on his way to hell. But we do it, and we do it without even thought about being partial in other areas. James chapter 3, verse 17, it says it right there, the last portion. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without what? Partiality. And without hypocrisy. Let me tell you, church, as our church grows, and it has grown, and it has come a long way in these last 6 years that we've been together, it's because there's been no partiality. It's because when visitors come in that door, that door, that door, that door, when they enter in here, we make them feel at home. No matter who they are, what they're wearing, what they smell like. Because I don't care if they're free, if they come here smelling like a polo factory or a pig factory. They have a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And I'm going to tell you this, you can dress up and bathe a pig, dear friend, and he's still a pig. Just because they come in smelling like polo or Javon Tim McGraw or Adidas or something else doesn't mean they don't need to be saved by the grace of God. There was a beggar man that laid at the feet of a rich man's gate and at the table and just begging for bread. And when the angels came, the poor beggar who smelled and had dogs licking on him, hey, he went to heaven. The rich man in gay clothing and gold watches and rings and three-piece suits, hey, he lifted his eyes in hell. Amen. Luke 16. Read it for yourself. Amen. Partiality's not going to cut it with God.
He said, oh, well, what can they bring? You know what's wrong with our churches? Our churches and men of God, our pastors, we're concerned with a paycheck. And not being men of God and preaching the Word of God. They're hirelings. Man. Oh, I can get me another. You see that car? Hey, brother, Deacon. You see that car out there? Man alive. He must work. Where did he work? He's making 6-7 digits. Be easy on him. Bring him some water. You bring him water, he'll die and go to hell. He needs the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not against rich folks coming here either, by the way. God bless us. Send about 15 if they're humble. If they want to love God, they want to look at everybody else the same. But I'm not against poor folks either coming here either.
Amen.
As long as they're humble. There's some poor folks, I'm going to tell you, Brother Johnson. They'll steal a nickel off your dead eye. You just lay there dead in the coffin. You take your nickel. It's about knowing that their soul's going to spend eternity somewhere.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be a sad thing we placed a wealthy person up here for us to put on display and they die and go to hell? And some old poor guy, poor lady, hadn't been around a bath in about a week. We put back off in the corner up there because of the smell. And they're saved and they know Jesus, but they're a prayer warrior. They can talk to God. They've got to hear God. I'm not a church. We need prayer.
Amen.
We need folks. Okay. Your status in life, rich or poor, doesn't make you a child of God. It's that relationship with Christ. But we sometimes, we look on the appearance of people. Go back and read the nation of Israel when they looked upon the appearance of a king. It didn't do them too well. Didn't do them too well when they had a man head and shoulders above all. God had to bring in a little ruddy shepherd boy that messed up on every turn, didn't he? Got close to God, fell back. Got close to God, fell back. Got close to God, fell back. Got close to God. Proverbs says a righteous man falls, yet riseth again. When Saul fell, he fell upon a sword. It was hard. Hard. Partiality. We're seeing it left and right. Left and right all around us. Well, let's go to Exodus. I've got 5 minutes for this one. Exodus. So, you neglect the Word of God, you're not going to have spiritual growth. Just to recap it. You neglect the Word of God, you're going to start following people that are not true preachers and followers and teachers of Christ. You neglect the Word of God, you won't be able to control your tongue. The only way to control the tongue, dear friend, is to walk in the Spirit. No way. No other way. You neglect the Word of God, you'll forget to see that God used sinners of all shapes, forms, and fashions in the Bible. You have partiality. Look at the genealogy of Christ in Matthew. Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. Rahab, the harlot. Look at all the followers. Look at Peter. Peter cut off a man's ear. Denied the Lord. Took a bunch of them fishing. The Lord called him out there and said, come down with me. Come eat, Peter. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. In Acts, Peter preached the Word of God with power and convictions in thousands. Thousands, God said. Partiality. Won't get us anywhere. Excuses.
Exodus chapter 3, verse number 11. Many of you know this here story. You know this here. God's dealing with Moses. He's out in the wilderness, and God's trying to get him in the place to go back to Egypt and to tell the Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses comes up with what? 100 excuses why he can't do it. Exodus 3:11, and Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Go forward to Exodus 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Excuses. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, excuses will hinder spiritual growth. I can't get the flesh to just do right. So I'm just going to have to give up. Well, I like that part of the Bible, but that other portion over there, man, I enjoy doing that too much. Lord, I would go and be faithful, but you know, Lord, I bought some land. Who knows where that story's at? Lord, I would go, but I just married this woman. And I really got to get to know her. Here's a tidbit of advice. If you married her and don't know her, you're in trouble. You should have already figured that out way before you said, "I do." "Well, I've got these oxen. I bought these oxen and I just can't." Y'all, does that ring a bell? It's in the New Testament. And you know what the Bible says about those in the New Testament in the book of Luke? The Bible says those that were bidden did not eat of the meal. Why? Because they all made excuses. Excuses. You know why we need to be taught again? We make excuses for neglecting the Word of God. It's just too hard to understand. My soul, we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. The one that moved the men of old to write this book that we call the Bible. He can teach us if we get into it. Amen. Study to show thyself approved unto God. The workman that need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Excuses. "Preach, I just can't." Well, then throw Philippians 4:13 out the window. What's it say? "I can do all things through Apple, Mac. I can do all things through Christ." All things through Christ. We can, but we've got to get rid of the excuses. "Preacher, it's difficult." Anything in life worth doing is difficult. Anything in life is difficult. You want spiritual growth, dear friend, in your life this year in 2015? You're going to have to get in the Word of God. You're going to have to know the Word of God so that when you hear false teachers, you say, "Oh, there's something missing there. There's no light, no testimony." Isaiah 8:20. Back up, I have to look at that again. I don't know what he's saying there to be true, but we have to look at the Word of God. You want spiritual growth? Get the Word of God so you can walk in the Spirit so we can control the tongue. It's the only way to do it. You've got to be in the Spirit. You want spiritual growth, dear friend? Whoever we see on that out them doors and in our community, in our neighborhoods, at our work, they deserve to hear the gospel. Red, white, blue, or purple. So I preach, ain't no purple. Well, you seen their hairs nowadays? They dye them all kinds of colors. Even if it's dyed purple, they need to hear the gospel. Even if they bald headed, they need the gospel. No partiality. No, and listen. Sometimes, I'm telling you, there's reverse partiality too. We find it easier to share the gospel with somebody of another race than we do our own. He ain't going to believe me. He's white. If it's all about your color and him believing you, it's all about Jesus, dear friend. It's all about Him.